A violent coughing fit gripped Rahim Khan and rocked his gaunt body back and forth. When he spat into his handkerchief, it immediately stained red. I thought that was as good time as any to address the elephant sweating with us in the tiny room. "How are you?" I asked. "I mean, really, how are you?" "Dying, actually," he said in a gurgling voice. Another round of coughing. More blood on the handkerchief. He wiped his mouth and blotted his sweaty brow from one wasted temple to the other with his sleeve and gave me a quick glance. When he nodded, I knew he had read the next question on my face. "Not long," he breathed. "How long?" He shrugged and coughed again. "I don't think I'll see the end of this summer," he said. "Let me take you home with me. I can find you a good doctor." "They're coming up with new treatments all the time. There are new drugs and experimental treatments. We could enroll you in one." I was rambling and I knew it, but it was better than crying, which I was probably going to do anyway. He let out a chuff of wheezy laughter and revealed missing lower incisors. It was the most tired laughter I had ever heard. "I see America has infused you with the optimism that has made her so great," he said. "That's very good. We're a melancholic people, we Afghans, aren't we? Often, we wallow too much in ghamkhori and self-pity. We give in to loss, to suffering, and accept it as a fact of life, even see it as necessary. Zindagi migzara, we say. Life goes on. But I'm not surrendering to fate here. I'm being pragmatic. I've seen several good doctors here, and they have given the same answer. I trust them and believe them. There is such a thing as God's will." "There's only what you do and what you don't do," I said. Rahim Khan laughed. "You sounded like your father just now. I miss him so much. But it is God's will, Amir John. It really is." He paused. "Besides, there's another reason I asked you to come here. I wanted to see you before I go, yes. But something else, too." "Anything," I said. "You know all those years I lived in your father's house after you left?" "Yes." "I wasn't alone for all of them. Hassan lived there with me." "Hassan," I said. "When was the last time I had spoken his name?" Those thorny old barbs of guilt bore into me once more, as if speaking his name had broken a spell and set them free to torment me anew. Suddenly, the air in Rahim Khan's little flat was too thick, too hot, too rich with the smell of the street. "I thought about writing you and telling you before," Rahim Khan said, "but I wasn't sure you wanted to know. Was I wrong?" The truth was no. The lie was yes. I settled for something in between. "I don't know," I said. He coughed another patch of blood into the handkerchief. When he bent his head to spit, I saw honey-crusted sores on his scalp. "I brought you here because I'm going to ask something of you," he said. "I'm going to ask you to do something for me. But before I do, I want to tell you about Hassan. Do you understand?" "Yes," I murmured. "I want to tell you about him," Rahim Khan said. "I want to tell you everything. You will listen?" I nodded. Then Rahim Khan sipped some more tea, rested his head against the wall, and spoke.